Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelorette recap podcast, hosted by a male and a racial best friend duo. Big news, the Tumblr sale has been extended.
Oh, wow.
Due to lack of demand. Like Will Smith in Pursuit of Happiness, lugging around all these tumblers.
Okay.
25% off RemNAB.com.
Listen, a little sick today, Rem. Don't make me laugh.
Oh, is that the case?
Hurts the chest.
I don't have any jokes.
Hurts my chest.
Kind of a boring episode.
No jokes today.
No jokes. We will take this deadly seriously.
That Will Smith joke was too good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dragging around worthless. Those worthless computers. What did he have? Computers or something?
They're like scanners for
huge
some.
Huge computers.
They were scanners for some surgery thing. And he got them right before like the next. He bought a bunch of them right before the next best thing came out. One of the great films.
I agree.
Anything else?
Flu game. Don't make me laugh. That's all. Flu game.
All right. Won't do it. We're in New Orleans this episode. Hometown's next week. And the group is wondering how that's going to work, since several of them have yet to go on dates at all.
Well, I'll tell you how it's going to work.
They're going home.
The two of you that haven't had dates, if you're a historian like myself, you are going home.
Sean and Tanner are the two who have not had one-on-ones. Joey has only had a nighttime portion. I don't count that. Don't let Sean and the others fool you. That was not a real one-on-one.
Well, I asked it's that question at the time. A half seems low. A full seems high.
So where are you settling?
3/4 seems a little low.
No, that's too high.
I'll
I'm
go
a 65.
Four
I'm at 65.
I'll go 4/5. 4/5 of a hometown. We're talking 80% rim. That's all.
Okay, well, you don't need to flex numbers on me like that. Aaron B.
Real quick, are you saying they should not be feeling some way about Joey getting the one-on-one because his isn't a real one-on-one?
No, I'm just stating for the record that I don't believe that to be a real one-on-one.
Okay.
Someone, I think it was Sean, said Joey's had a one-on-one.
Sure.
As if it were a real one-on-one.
I feel the same way. If I'm Joey, this is clear that Sean is way ahead of me because he's basically gotten one and
flip the names there. Flip the names.
Sean, if I'm Sean, yeah.
We
if
don't
I'm
all look
Sean,
alike, yeah.
If I'm Sean, I would think that Joey's way ahead of me because he's already at least had it was a pretty big one-on-one. It wasn't a normal one-on-one, but it was still bigger than anything close to what he's had.
Aaron B's lived in New Orleans for he was in New Orleans for a period of time.
He lives here currently.
Okay. Wow. That's
he lives
even
there
worse
currently.
Than I thought then.
Yeah, 7 years. The way he phrased it at least was he's lived here for 7 years. I took that as currently he still resides there.
One would think he would get his opportunity to smugly point out everything he knows about the city to charity.
I wrote here. So he will definitely be getting a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Show charity around the city. He said he wants to show charity around the city that made him a man.
I don't even want to know what he means by that.
I don't know what he means. It sounds weirder than he meant it to sound,
I think.
Either way, it's corny.
Yeah, well, you know, par for the course.
Okay.
Which is a corny statement on its own. Horse-drawn carriage picks up Charity and Joey.
Joey, you love to see it.
Do you? Not if you're Tanner and Sean.
I'm talking about me. Me personally as an anti-Aaron man at this point.
It happened quick.
I love to see this. Okay. I love seeing someone go to someone's hometown and then not get a one-on-one.
Get picked up in a horse-drawn carriage in their face.
Right in front of them. And Aaron's a smug New Orleans guy, so he knew everything about it. Okay, he probably knew.
He said that phrase. I know everything about here.
I know everything about here. He probably knew the company that the horse-drawn carriage was from. He's been on those numerous times.
That was a simmering subplot throughout the episode that I got a lot of enjoyment out of.
I liked it. I did too. I got a lot of enjoyment.
Joey one-on-one, daytime. You know, montage stuff, but not just any montage, a reality TV show in New Orleans montage, which means we got the following. Tarot card reader on the street.
Of course.
Predicting love in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of soft, light daytime dancing to a live performance of When the Saints Go Marching In. If you've seen this, you've seen them all. This is what the shows do when they're here. This could have been Bar Rescue. This could have been Amazing Race. This could have been Rachel's season. AB overcome with laughter, but he can't
when
do
the,
it.
When the Saints go marching in, there's no more fun music to play.
To lightly
walking
dance
around
to.
Somewhere to lightly, da- lightly,
to dance,
lightly
walk
dance.
To. Just kind of,
to dance around. Like, you're not really dancing to the music, even. You're just dancing to the situation that you're in.
Yep. Just shoulders
to get
up
from
and down.
Place to place.
And naturally, a typewriter poet on the street. Constructing a special poem just for them. Talk about a racket. This guy probably charges 30. I got to include these coughs. Otherwise, people are going to think you're not laughing at all. $35 a poem, I imagine he charges.
That's low.
Oh, I don't have change for the 100 is what this guy's doing on the street with this typewriter.
It's at least 50. Only cash. Mm-hmm. Okay. Only cash.
Yeah. Listen. This is not a registered business, all right? To Joey's credit, he had plenty of positive charity statements ready that didn't seem inauthentic. What did you make of the poem quality as a poetry man?
Well, let me read the poem for you, Rem.
Through, yeah.
Hold my hand, hold my past and future. I sink into you without thinking. It's so easy, I'm scared. Could it really be like this? Caught in the wind. Letting it take us wherever it needs. I see myself in your eyes like I've always been there. Like my heart was always searching for your words to make it sing. So hold my hand. I feel the sky breaking open. This is our chance to breathe and be everything. Listen, Rim. Beautiful.
Was it?
But pre-written.
Yeah, was it specific to anything?
You asked them, you asked them all those questions. And there's not a single thing that's specific to Joey or Charity. I bet there's multiple people out there, if they're Bachelor Bachelorette fans, that have that poem written by that man.
He's just going like this with the typewriter, not impressing him.
What? They answered the questions. I went back and listened to what their answers were. They didn't really relate to what he wrote.
The one thing that was related to the moment was... It was a little breezy out, and he mentioned the wind.
Caught in the wind?
Yeah, that's a point for him.
Well, Remy has templates that are based on the weather. Yeah. Obviously. You pull out the windy template, and that makes people think that they're getting something written special about them.
The Incredible. Windy template? That'll be the episode name. They read the poem and kiss. I don't want to spend too much time on the poem here.
I do.
But I don't know. It seemed odd to me that it was written from the perspective of one of the participants in the love story. When the third party wrote it.
Hold my hand, hold my past.
It's me, yeah. My hand, my past.
It's so, one person.
So who's it from? Does it apply to both of them? Can Joey or Charity read it to them? Yeah. Joey one-on-one date, nighttime. Joey sees a forever future with Charity. Well, actually, Charity sees it with Joey. I'm sure the same could be said for the J-Man. Interracial relationship talk here, AB. With a bonus Rim Conspiracy Corner.
Oh, okay.
In Charity's last relationship, I assume with the Philanderer? Are we to believe this is the same guy?
Well, Rim, I had some questions about this, too. She says Xavier reminded him of...
Your theory was that it was mostly due to looks. I think we assigned percentages to it.
Yeah, I think I said like 75%.
It's got to be two. Maybe it's two people then.
There's no way.
They typically don't. Leads typically don't refer to more than one ex. If their storyline is rooted in a tragedy of a past relationship, they focus on one.
I hear you.
Anyway, I took this conversation as the fact that she brought it up tells me that Joey is someone she's very seriously considering, because this struck me as a overnight dates night conversation, maybe hometowns conversation. Felt to me like she top two or even favorite at this point for Charity. The fact that she even brought this up.
I hear you.
She's not going to Sean.
No.
I'm like, hey.
Or who's the other guy? Tanner.
Yeah.
Sean Tanner. Or Tanner. No. I thought Joey's response was perfect. Mm. Something he can't learn until he can face it together with her. He knows it's going to be hard, but he almost can't wait to, you know, navigate through it with her. Great response. She choked her up.
She was overcome with emotion by his response.
Yeah, it's great.
Which also contributed
to
my feeling about where they are now. Oh,
AB I was choked up, just like Charity.
Charity tearfully, through happy tears, offers Joey the rose. And Joey tells Charity he's falling in love with her. And AB, I bought every word of it.
I did too.
Hawaii may be his downfall. Maybe not on the show. Maybe if they end up together, it could be their undoing. But I think that's like the only obstacle that could prevent this union from occurring.
Can't he just be a tennis pro in California and it'll be basically the same thing?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But I'm still in the, enough in the season where I'm like, maybe they'll move back to where Charity, you know, I'm in that denial right now.
Oh,
obviously,
you
Charity
think,
will be living in
you think
Los
Charity
Angeles.
Won't be living in Los Angeles.
You know, I like to live that fantasy for a while. It never happens.
Yeah.
Back at the house. Sean's drunk, I think. Tough episode. He believes he's the reason. Sean believes the reason he's still here is because Charity feels the same way he does about her.
People won't buy a tumbler from us, Rim. They won't buy a tumbler. I'm out here.
I don't even want to sell the tumblers. The margins are too low at this sale.
These people won't buy an insanely cheap tumbler. I'm out here battling.
Giving them away.
I'm giving them everything I got. They wouldn't even buy a tumbler. My goodness.
Date card. Sean and Tanner.
Didn't see this coming. I don't know why I didn't.
Me neither.
Blew my mind that this was a 2-on-1.
I thought at the time, this is going to be the first ever 2-on-1 where both participants go home due to just lack of interest from the lead.
Yeah, I wrote the same thing. I said, if Sean and Tanner are certain one of them is walking out with a rose, because they were both talking about two men in, one man out.
For sure.
You guys are sorely mistaken if you think that both of you can't go home right now.
A 2-on-1 before a hometown is... I think the shortened season messed with the numbers here, because this doesn't usually happen right before hometown, and it's... Like, if you're at risk... You go
if
on
you're
a
in
2-on-1.
A situation where you have to go on a 2-on-1. Yeah.
You're not going to the hometown.
If you're
next.
In that situation, yeah, you're not going to hometown the next episode. You need more time. You need time after a 2-on-1 to fix your relationship.
Exactly.
Because your relationship right now is fucked. You're on a 2-on-1
with a
do
scumbag.
Or die situation.
With like someone who's a little worse than you, probably. So you're not that great.
So if you win the 2-on-1, and now you need to spend a couple weeks fixing what was broken if you're going to want a hometown. So yeah, probably, I'd say odds are both of these people are going home at this point.
One thing this show does in the bayou is send people on two-on-ones in swamps.
Mm-hmm.
Corinne and her compatriot on Nick Vile's season. If they're going to a swampy area of the country, two people will be sent into it.
With the gators.
With the gators. They arrive at the place where Uncle Peter lives on the Righteous Gemstones.
I see. I haven't seen all that.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I'm trying not to make you laugh. I'm just throwing.
I wrote down
references.
They're at the.
Bray Wyatt could emerge.
Well, that'd be good too. No, I wrote Adam Sandler's mama in.
Oh, in naturally.
In her water boy.
One of the great bayou moms.
The mama's house.
Tanner feels Sean dominated the conversation here. Didn't give him a chance to make his case, trying to win the day against Tanner. And Captain Tom agrees. Anything else on this portion of the day, DB? Maybe the last thing that happened?
Oh, right before they're leaving, Charity's given her little, you know, wrap up before the nighttime. Sean comes by, gives her a smooch. Great move. She calls him a sweetie boy. I thought it was done for old Tanner.
Yeah.
Tanner's sitting there, hands in his pocket, waiting for the bus to show up to pick him back up to take him home. And Sean's over there smooching.
I still didn't think Sean was getting a hometown, but I thought that was a terrific move that he probably should have pulled out earlier.
I think if
Sean, this last episode, Sean was a big moves guy, show moves. Oh, mm-hmm. Make this kiss here, go to a room later.
Sure.
That kind of thing.
I thought he's pulling all the stops. I thought there's a good chance he's getting a rose at this point.
The nighttime portion begins with Charity asking Tanner to leave the room so her and Sean can chat. Not to pull Sean away. Tanner, you might get the fuck out of here.
Had that been me,
so
Tanner.
We could touch each other's thighs. You mind? No, go outside, buddy.
I'll say, yeah, I'll go get an Uber. I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. The dinner just got ordered. It just got here. I'm not. No.
Take the drink.
I'll give you some time, but I'm leaving.
Mind if you scoot? When Tanner's outside, he's smoking a stress cig, knowing that Sean is going to, you know, waltz his way into the top four. He's going to perform. I don't know how we're going to edit this. You're coughing up a storm. It's like you're dying every time I make a wildly funny comment. I mean, this can't be entertaining.
You got to put a laugh track in. Put a laugh track in whenever I'm from coughing, please.
Tanner and Charity one-on-one time. Tanner says to Charity, I got my guards up. Tells a story about a serious relationship he had and how it broke down.
Mm-hmm.
This was night one stuff, Tan Man. This was not going to...
It wasn't enough
to save the day. It is a little late. Outside, Sean is celebrating the big win.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of reasonable. I mean...
He won.
If you go into it thinking one of us is definitely getting a rose and you're Sean...
You feel like you got the rose. You've earned it.
Tanner's definitely not getting it.
Tanner hasn't done anything or said anything.
Yeah.
I'm out here stunting on Tanner is what I think if I'm Sean.
Back at the house. AB, who am I? Yeah. It is 11:40 p.m. Where the heck are they? What are they doing out so late?
You're a little wet boy.
Maybe Charity's in trouble. She needs my help.
It's Mr. New Orleans, Aaron.
The Big Easy himself.
Mr. Nolans.
Descartes is Dotton.
Wow. Hold the fuck up. Hold up, Rim.
Who's holding up?
Is it just me? Am I insane or did this man just have a one-on-one?
He did. Everything just happened on the season. It's the fifth episode.
Yeah, but this just happened. Was that last episode?
I think the week before.
Okay.
Xavier had one last episode.
Who had the other one?
I don't know. Don't ask me to remember stuff.
I swear Dotton just had an episode that changed everything for me.
He did. And now he had another one. Anyway, Aaron is just livid, which was hilarious. I mean, how could she do this to him after he intercepted the dangerous Brayden, or tried to intercept Brayden when he was exiting? When it wouldn't have done anything anyway?
Oh, Aaron, is it... do I hear that you're having a hard time seeing your girlfriend date other guys? Is that something that's giving you a little trouble right now? Is that something you don't like seeing? Maybe you can't be, it's okay to not love someone fully when they're dating multiple people. Is that something that bothers you a little bit? He was mad at Brayden because Brayden didn't like her kissing other guys, and now he's mad about other people getting one-on-ones. And multiple people are, in fact.
Someone else who is going to hometowns had a similar concern that you must not be named also had. I don't want to dredge up the past.
Are you guys starting to understand that this TV show isn't as easy as you thought it was when it was just slamming beers by the pool?
Maybe no one's going ready to get engaged? Perhaps Charity included?
It's coming at you fast, isn't it? The whole engagement thing, most of you guys. Is that something you're ready for 100% now?
Yeah, Aaron was a big, if you're not here, get
engaged,
I've been told
if you're not here to get engaged right that instant, that you probably shouldn't be on the show.
That's just what I was told.
That's what I'm going off of, what I've been told. Okay? I don't know.
Back on the date. Charity grabs a rose. Long pause. Says, I can't give this out.
Rose play by Charity all episode.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say. Great rose play. Dramatic.
Yeah, I do have a question about why the final rose given out this episode, that you could have added to that segment. Who cares about that comment now, Rim? Get to it later. Nobody's getting the rose tonight. Tanner thinks this is good news for him. Which, yeah, I guess. I mean, you're still getting fired.
It's not the worst news.
You get paid for another week is kind of all that.
Worst news, I guess, but it's almost the worst news.
I think he went into it like, if I can avoid, the goal he set for himself was not
getting sent home. Yeah. Well, then in that sense, you did good.
Let's take a quick break. This episode of The Rosecast is brought to you by Rim and AB's Tumblr sale. Tubular tumblers, 25% off. No. Getting around. Here's a real ad, folks. If we have one, I don't even know if we do. Tumblers.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dot and one-on-one date. Morning time. The Crescent City Classic, which is a 10K for the record.
Okay, because there was some half marathon talk at different points, and I didn't believe it. There's no way they ran a half marathon right here just randomly, especially with what they were doing during the day. I would actually argue there's no chance they finished a 10K with what they were doing.
They showed them crossing the line at about 2 hours and 40 minutes, which tracks for a 10K where you walk most of the time.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you that.
So
from
maybe
experience.
They just walked a 10K. Yeah.
They walked quite a bit.
The tracks.
Dotton says, I've never run a marathon. I got news for you. You still have.
Well, you haven't, and you're not going to.
You probably never will. Anything on this portion? They interacted with some real locals, non-actors, or do you think they were all actors here?
I don't know. It was hard to tell. I didn't get the actor vibe from any of these people, including the alligator guy. I didn't get actor vibes from him.
No. The alligator, no.
No, this is just a classic
Bachelor
scene.
That didn't cross my mind that he could be an actor.
Yeah. No, this just classic Bachelor scene. Nothing to see here.
Some nice time after the race. Dotton prepares us for the nighttime portion. I'm going to tell her I'm falling in love with her.
Yeah, I wrote here, hold up, Dotton. Is he going to win this season? I'm so locked into Dotton winning and these two sailing off into the sunset that at this point, if Charity picks anyone else, there'll be some hostility. That's what I wrote here.
That's a long note to yourself.
I know, it's a long note, but I needed to read it all. I like Dotton so much and want him to win so much that if Charity, who I also like, decides to choose someone else, I will probably dislike her going forward.
That's how the show
and
has
that person.
Gone. Yeah. Dotton and Charity on the nighttime portion, AB. He's scared to take this next step, meeting his family. Says, well, every time I've wanted something, fell flat on my face. And now here he is. He saw Charity on TV.
He wants something.
Came to the show for her, which I believe is what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's so close to realizing his dream life with Charity.
He's so close.
He can't help but think, perhaps I will fall short once again. Charity says she feels the same way. Is the journey too good to be true? How about Dotton's build-up and delivery to fall, the FL combo, falling in love?
He didn't say it, did he?
He sure did.
He said it? Wait, what did I miss
it's
here?
It's interesting that you have their reaction because he kind of slipped the phrase in.
What'd he say? You got it written down? I didn't even catch it.
One of the few quotes I got down verbatim.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'll tell you when the quote begins. This is paraphrasing at this point. His heart's in this, AB.
First, set the scene. He's wearing his best shirt.
Okay, I'll set the scene. He's wearing his best shirt.
Mm-hmm. The shirt that's like, I'm going to step on my competitor's throat's shirt with this shirt.
And for him,
I'm
going
to pull
easy.
Out my best. I think I'm out in the lead now. It's time to really fucking.
I see where you're going and I appreciate the where
it's
you're
time to do
I
it.
Appreciate the joke you're making. However, I don't think Dotton thinks that way.
I don't think Dotton is a
ruthless competitor. I don't think he wants Joey to be on the side of the road writhing in pain because Dotton stepped on him on the way to the mountaintop.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But I see what you're saying. It's a great shirt. That's the whole point of what you're
trying
to say. It's his best
shirt.
The
shirt's his best shirt. That's all.
Don says, my heart's in this, but my brain asking questions. However, he's working, thanks to Charity, on listening to his heart. Only on ABC. Quote, my heart is pretty much telling me, and he said it much faster than this, that I'm definitely falling in love with you at this point. There's more of the speed.
I don't think that counts.
I'm definitely falling in love with you at this point. It was an unexpected slip in.
Read that again.
My heart is pretty much telling me that I'm definitely falling in love with you at this point. There's a lot of fluff around it, but
does your heart telling you that mean you're actually saying that? Heart's
I count
inside.
It. I count it.
I don't think I count that, and I don't think that's. I think that's why I was confused on you saying he said I love you or I'm falling in love with you. Does his mouth say it, Rim?
His mouth said it.
Well,
that's the
only
way
I could
hear
it. It was paraphrasing the heart. It was quoting the heart. It wasn't.
What you're saying is accurate. I think his intention was to
You think
express
he was trying to
Charity.
Say I love you?
Yeah, but he was maybe nervous. It's the girl of his dreams.
I think he was trying to not quite say it. I think when he says it, and we'll find out when he actually says it, I don't know.
Here's all that matters, AB. Charity,
did she think she said it?
Charity felt as though he said, I'm falling in love with you. It was the equivalent for Charity based on her reaction.
That's fair.
And they kiss. She offers him a rose.
She said, I can't in words say how you make me feel. Just know that it's a million good things. That's a lot of good things, Rim, about one person.
Back at the house. I wanted to be whisked away in a horse-drawn carriage and travel past my old haunts and places of work and friend's house and I could tell everybody about it. Descartes. Aaron, Xavier, Tanner, Sean.
A little double date week for Sean and Tanner.
Let me bore you with some numbers here and bore myself.
Okay.
The date structure of this episode felt like they were scrambling to do the math. You have the first 2-on-1. If someone gets a rose there, that leaves 2 people for the last rose. This is a big who's on first situation. It would be weird then to have a second 2-on-1.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And then another 1-on-1. Like Xavier and Aaron have no reason to go on a 2-on-1, really. It would also be weird.
Neither did Sean and Tanner.
Neither did Sean and Tanner. It would also
the only reason Sean and Tanner had a 1-on-1 is because they're so far in last place. That's the only thing they have in common. They have no beef. There's no storyline. It's just these are the two guys that I have no connection with yet.
It would also be strange to have a cocktail party and a rose ceremony for when there are 2 free agents and 1 rose available. That just would be weird. More people than not have roses at a cocktail party.
Strange.
Play out a scenario where no one gets a rose on the first 2-on-1, like we thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's only 4 people left.
Like did happen.
But no one gets a rose and they both go home.
Yeah.
Then there's only 4 people left.
And you have 2 roses.
And you can't have there's 4 people left and all of them get roses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they'd have that. They'd have a group date, but they'd have 2 roses for 2 people.
They wouldn't even have the group date. The point is they would all know they're going to hometowns in that scenario. And you can't have like the luggage be pulled, double luggage pull, and then everyone in the hotel room going like, oh, so we're all going to hometowns? That's kind of anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a group date with 4 people and 2 roses instead of a rose ceremony. Just an odd situation that I blamed on the shortened season.
It is an odd situation. The shortened season hurts, but I think what you do is... I don't see the reason for the 2-on-1.
Yeah. Well, they're in the swamp. That's the only reason.
Did they promote the 2-on-1?
No.
Was that part of the reasoning? They wanted to promote a 2-on-1?
Okay, I don't think so.
You should have just had 1-on-1 date, 1-on-1 date, group date with everyone.
Rose ceremony.
With
no rose on the
group
date.
No roses given on the group date.
Yeah.
So then you have 4 guys vying for 2 roses.
Yep.
That's what they should have done. Or if she wasn't, I think.
You could always do no roses on any dates.
Well, I was going to say, I think Joey and Dotton are so far ahead that she wanted to give them the 1-on-1s. You could have, if you wanted more drama on this episode, you could have given a 1-on-1 to, you know, Sean or Tanner, sent them home. And then you have even more people for the group date. You could give away the group date rose if you want.
Yeah.
It's always a good group date rose when they're giving the 1 rose for the hometown. That really upsets people. So they missed out on that, all for this 2-on-1 thing that really didn't hit anyways and had no, it bears no weight on the rest of the season. No one cared about either of these guys.
I totally agree. This 2-on-1 was not hyped up.
2-on-1 was worthless. And it
worthless.
It hurt the rest of the episode big time. I think you'd be better off just having a normal episode with a group date where you give a rose on that group date. Imagine Aaron's face when he has to sit there and watch someone else get the rose.
Yeah.
That's TV gold.
Or at least TV pyrite. I'm not sure there's any TV gold left to be had in this season. Drama-wise, this was a very undramatic episode. And based on who's left, I mean, where's it going to come from, you know?
The Flash is gone.
Careful what you wish for. Dotton returns. I just have a quick thing here. I exploded with laughter when Dotton was saying something like, well, we were doing this race, and I don't know what it was called, and Aaron grumbles.
Yeah, that was very classic.
He was just furious he didn't get to do the – you don't even know what the Crescent City Classic is.
You have no idea. The history of the Crescent City Classic runs right by my house. Come on.
Every year they run it. Come on. Sean upset that Dotton has returned. He still doesn't know why Charity feels – he feels so strongly about Charity despite the fact that he hasn't received a rose or a 1-on-1 date.
Yeah, Sean is confused and doesn't know what to do. It's like, buddy, I can give you a couple ideas on what you should be doing right now. I think the writing's on the wall.
I think he... I hate to be cynical.
You think
guy.
He was
I
just
think,
doing this?
I think he knew everything about how this would play out. Probably. I think he knew when he was going to her room that that would be it. When you look at Sean's resume, which he repeatedly told us, he might be the person with the worst resume ever to get a private breakup and a hallway hug, a tear for hallway hug. AB, not only did he not have a one on rose, as he admitted himself, he hasn't received a group date rose. He hasn't stood out in a group one time. Of course he's not going to hometowns. Of course you're not getting a one-on-one.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not.
Sean's just getting scenes under his belt. He's just putting stuff on film for Paradise.
You got to have a film role for Paradise. You're right.
And he does. He does. Anyway, I kind of spoiled the end of the Sean one-on-one time with Charity. He does go to a room. He says that he's in the process of falling in love with her, which is a new one. I'm considering initiating the feelings of love toward you pending approval of the relevant stakeholders. We may reach the point where I can say definitively that my heart is telling me that I'm falling in love. We could get there. And Charity breaks up with him. This is a tough thing about the short season, even with fewer people. Sean was, before this episode, a side one-liners guy, a side character.
Yeah.
This was presented as a Rachel Peter breakup.
Yeah, that, I mean, you lost me there.
Yeah, we all knew what this was.
I could not have cared less about a scene than this entire one that was Sean's breakup. Just could not care less.
Don't get me wrong. I don't. This is a perfectly pleasant season. I have no idea who's going to win between Joey and Dotton.
Yeah.
I'm very engaged and interested in how it plays out. But it is, you know, you could doze on and off and probably not miss much. Yeah.
I think if we get to that final four and she's letting people go, I think there's going to be some real, real decisions she's going to have to make. I still.
Why do you say that? There's Aaron and Xavier.
I don't know that I've given up on Xavier yet, necessarily.
Oh, I absolutely have. Did you watch the rest of this episode?
Yeah, but...
I mean...
He's just being honest.
Well, we know where that gets you.
Yeah, that's true.
Back of Pac Sun. Group date, daytime.
Two roses, three guys.
Yep. Tanner, Xavier, Aaron.
No rose ceremony, at least from what we're guessing, because the roses are sitting right there in front of him when the date starts.
Aaron gets some one-on-one time first, describes this as the hardest week of his life, because he didn't get a date.
It was his hometown.
The place where he's lived, yeah.
The place that made him a man, in fact.
Yeah. Despite that, he is willing to traverse the difficult terrain to reach the mountaintop with Charity. Anything on these two? Did this change the way you felt about Aaron and his chances?
Not at all. And I don't think Charity really provided him with any reassurance that I saw, at least, that he's in good standing.
He keeps going back to their first date, which at the time was great.
Who gives a shit about that first date?
Aaron's been thinking about that first date constantly. Charity hasn't thought about it since.
I don't think Charity could tell you what they did.
Oh, was that when we were driving around in the smog on like an overcast day and went to the sign and did a commercial? That was a commercial, right, Aaron? Poor guy getting his heart broken. Tanner, one-on-one time. You know, a little nervous about the idea that their first one-on-one date would be in the presence of his family.
Yeah, Tanner, should be a concern for you.
Yeah.
Really should. Our first one-on-one will be my hometown. But he does tell her that he's envisioned it and can picture that very awkward scenario that he just said could happen. I've thought about it, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah. No avoiding it, but it's something we have to do. Xavier. discussion with Charity. Maybe I read this wrong, AB.
No, you didn't read it wrong, but was he wearing a sweater that he knitted?
Oh, I complimented the sweater. I like the colors.
It looked good.
It was good.
I think he knitted that sweater, Rim.
I choose to agree with you.
Okay. So how did you take this? What is it? What did you take this?
Xavier, I felt, told Charity that marriage is not in his short or medium term future. He made it seem like the idea of marriage and even long-term commitment, monogamous relationship with one person, was not something he could wrap his arms around. Now, those aren't his exact words, and maybe I am misinterpreting it, but the look on Charity's face told me that that's how she read it.
Another thing he said was he has concerns about not being able to get there. Ever. Basically exactly what Brayden was sent home for.
I think way more concerning, almost. Because Brayden at least made it clear that he liked Charity. Xavier almost was...
Yeah.
I don't understand what this conversation was for.
Yeah. I don't understand. Do you like Charity or not, pal?
He kind of walked it back a little bit. He goes, do I think I can get there? Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird, too. I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to get there. I think I can. But I'm definitely not there right now.
We leave tomorrow for where you live.
Tomorrow.
To meet your family. Yeah.
The next time I see you, we'll be... You aren't even sure if you like me?
People have expressed hesitation about getting there. When they say getting there, they're talking about, can I get to the point where I'm ready to become engaged and commit myself to you for life?
Get engaged, yeah.
Xavier's getting there was almost like having mutual interest in a romantic partnership. At all. Exclusive.
Very confusing conversation from Xavier. He's considering what we saw last week.
He seemed to think it went well, though. Did you think that that conversation changed his fate, his hometown's fate, at that point in the episode?
Yeah, I thought, I guess a part of me thought, hey, maybe they'll do three.
That's what I thought, too.
But have they ever done three?
Maybe once.
I don't know if they can.
Yeah.
I still thought he was getting a rose, I think. But it gave me a little pause for sure.
Maybe she breaks up with him before they go to her parents.
One thing I never thought for a second was Tanner was getting that rose. I thought it was either going to be Xavier or a three.
Yeah, I agree. With a short season, you should, and in general, all seasons should just be, in my view, three hometowns, two overnights. Four is excessive. Someone who gets fourth, you meet their family. They got fourth. And you spent time in their family's home.
It's a big deal.
I'm saying, no, it's not. I'm saying that person, if you get fourth, they probably never really considered you.
Oh, if you get fourth. In the grand scheme of things, though, I think it's a big deal.
Okay. Back with the group.
Hometown people carry a different weight on the beach. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I think we're talking about different things.
We definitely are.
Back with the group, Charity offers the first rose to Aaron and delays the delivery of the second rose until the nighttime portion, which I assumed would be at whatever venue they booked. What Charity doesn't know is that the producers called that restaurant or venue during Xavier's speech and canceled the reservation. They said, we don't need this anymore. A guy is quitting. A guy is resigning.
We definitely don't need the rose ceremony.
We don't have enough real players here. We're down a guy. Okay, group date nighttime in quotes. Xavier and Tanner, two guys who will not win this season. That was another thing about this episode. The Sean moment, who cares? This.
Who cares?
Like, who cares? Cares? Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares? I don't cares? Care.
When she sat down to talk to Tanner, you wanted me to care about that?
Or think it was going to happen? It was going to play out any other way?
Tanner talked to Tanner and Sean talked to her more than they had the rest of the season on this episode. Mm-hmm. You think I care about this?
Yeah.
No.
One indicator to me, I went into this thinking neither of them were getting a rose. And the main reason was Charity was wearing jeans. Jeans say, let me throw these on real quick and swing by their rooms for the breakups. They were wearing suits. and Charity was wearing jeans. Jeans are, it's almost disrespectful to get that Xavier should feel less than because she wore jeans to offer him a rose. Like, you're not a real, like, this is a rose, but, like, it's just a quota thing.
Yeah, they, you know, I was getting ready to leave. I had forgotten about you. They told me I had to come give someone a rose. I
have to run
sorry,
by
here. You go.
Tanner.
I had to drop off this rose.
She was never in the history of a day and night date has the lead during the nighttime portion been dressed down further than the daytime portion.
I would wonder if anyone has ever been sent home at night in jeans in the history of the show.
By a jeans wearer?
Both.
I don't think anyone's ever worn jeans at night. I don't think a lead's ever worn jeans at night.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever been sent home by a jeans wearer at night.
And they were light wash as well. She had those jeans on. I go,
they were light ones?
Yeah, she had the jeans. I said, they're both going home.
She doesn't give a shit
about either of you wearing these jeans.
Jeans, regular old jeans.
Probably not, yeah. Tanner's room first.
You see someone walk in with jeans. You say, let me stop you right there. Yeah. I'll just.
I got it.
I'll just leave.
I got a rose. I got a rose.
No,
it doesn't matter.
I get it.
I'm so far behind.
I understand what this is. I get it.
You know, I'm
no hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
We're good here.
I'm not going to let you play me anymore. Jeans?
Come on.
You're not getting offered a rose by someone wearing jeans and then getting an overnight date invite in 3 days. It's not happening.
You don't go from getting, not only that, you don't go from getting a jeans rose to then getting down on one knee and proposing to her in a gown.
In a week.
A couple week later. That doesn't happen. Come on.
She went to Tanner's room first. Tanner opened the door, which was the equivalent of stepping out of the limo. Long story short, you know, she starts crying, not because she's sad, but because feels bad to break up with nice people. Tanner gets it, I guess. But he also said, we gave this everything we got. And everything they got was no dates, no time together.
That's no all roses. You guys got?
He gave it a go.
Okay.
The good news for Tanner is he is a babe, a stone cold fox.
He's
hunk,
a babe. Yeah. And he's tall.
And he will be on the beach and he's tall.
He has big potential on the beach. I'm certain of that.
That's part of the reason why I think they filmed him walking around aimlessly in the French Quarter by that one bar that John Taffer saved with the barber chair shots. 15 years ago. You know, I've seen so many. I've never been to New Orleans. I feel like I know every inch of the city.
I know all the New Orleans bars.
Of the reality shows. Yeah.
They all were run down, and John Taffer saved them all. I know all of you. You want to talk about those grenade drinks? Those light up grenade drinks? Come on.
Guarantee those are still going.
They got all sorts of fancy drinks and cool places now.
Now, on to Xavier's room where there's a rose on the table. Now, you have complimented Charity's rose handling and dramatic pauses and such.
Dramatic rose handling.
I felt like this was almost a step too far. She goes, I got this rose.
It wasn't necessary.
And I tell you what, I don't have to give it to you.
I might not.
But I will. I mean, it's like he was in trouble or something.
it added to the dramatics of it.
We needed something.
Positive rose move by her still.
We needed something. So, Xavier, despite expressing the same feelings as Brayden.
At a much later time.
Going to hometowns. Yep.
That's how it goes.
To the camera, he said, I think something to the effect of, you know, we'll just keep this train going. See if I fall in love. I don't know. It's not really a make or break deal. Yeah, I don't know. And that was the episode. The last, I'd say half of the episode was almost everything not related to the Joey and Dotton dates was kind of, we knew how it would play out.
This was a big nothing episode. Joey Dotton, the whole second half was, Joey Dotton was good. That's good stuff. Good love. Good love between three good people.
Yep. Well,
the rest? The last hour, the two-on-one, the group date, and then the roses that were given out was nothing.
A waste of my time.
A waste of time. Absolutely.
I would like to, before we move to the mailbag, call out in the off chance they're listening, or if someone knows them, whoever's in charge of the music this season has been great all season, but also this episode was a standout episode.
Oh, wow.
There's fresh tunes, if you will. The big moments on Joey's date, the big moments on Don's date were complemented with music I haven't heard on this show that really fit the moment. The two-on-one date where they showed the alligators, that music had just enough twang to it, just the right amount of Cajun twang. I appreciated that. There was also the daytime portion of Joey and Charity's one-on-one date when they were dancing around. So they had the live band, the brass band playing when the Saints go marching in. Later in the date, there was like kind of a slightly slower piano version of Where the Saints Go Marching in that blended. So shout out to the sound editors as well that blended with the original live performance. It adds to the show. All these things, it's a television show, it's an entertainment product. That stuff matters to those with keen ears like myself. So shout out to the music people this season.
Good stuff.
Anything before we get to the mailbag, AB?
No.
Last week's question, what do you think of the Golden Bachelor? 773-234-7794. Some good takes in here. Alexa from Austin, I listened to a podcast where they interviewed the Golden Bachelor, Gary, with two hearts on either side. He was so sweet. He reminded me of my papa. He talked a bit about his late wife. They met in high school, and it made me cry while driving. I think it's going to be a really heartwarming season, and I'm so excited. He's very active, in parentheses, pickleball, rim parentheses. Be careful out there, Gary. That's a dangerous sport for any age. And has a fun personality. GILF energy for sure. Thank you, Alexa. Maybe tone down the...
Maybe relax on the GILF.
Maybe.
All
right.
Hey. I mean, it's 71 years old.
A lot
old.
Of horny people for Gary in the mailbag, I'll be honest. Thanks, Alexa. Maggie from Nova Scotia. As a geriatrician and a Bachelor fan, the Golden Bachelor is like my two worlds colliding. I have fallen off The Bachelor in recent times, and The Golden Bachelor will definitely bring me back. Gary seems like a guy we can all root for. I'm hoping the producers don't resort to ageism and other tropes for laughs. Thank you, Maggie.
Come on.
Don't hold your breath.
Come on. They're doing some age stuff.
We can all hope.
A lot of age stuff.
Will it be tasteful? That's the question. No, is the answer. Nikki from Naperville, Illinois. I can't possibly imagine the Golden Bachelor flopping. It's always been such an outrageous idea, and even though it's something they've teased forever, I really think it'll deliver. Sounds like pure entertainment in the greatest form and a nice, fresh take on the franchise. 9 Central Airtime is wild, though. You'd think that given their older audience who will be tuning in to watch, it'd be earlier.
I would love a 5 p.m. Central Bachelor.
Oh, my gosh.
A 5 p.m., right? Right after the news, maybe 5:30.
Before the news, yeah.
Or before the news. You push back the news a little bit. Yeah, I would love that.
I'd like a half-hour episode for this season, too. I wouldn't mind that.
Quick.
No commercials. Have it be sponsored by, you know, Life Alert. See, that kind of, you know, that place. That's not that offensive. you'd think they'd air at 7 Central, if anything, but 9 Central... To 11 Central, it's not going to 11 Central. I'm almost positive it's 1 hour.
Hour, yeah.
I wonder if that'll stick or be pushed back to an earlier time slot. Thank you, Nikki. 571 area code. I haven't watched the show since Michelle's season, but now I'm desperately trying to figure out how I'm going to watch The Golden Bachelor. I haven't felt this much excitement since they announced Claire as the Bachelorette right before COVID. I don't have AB's optimism that there'll be no way they can screw this up, but I'm very hopeful that this will be a breath of fresh air for the franchise. Also, it's mildly horrifying to admit this. Here we go. But, ignoring the ridiculous spray tan, I find him more attractive in his promo photos than any of the last few Bachelors. Laughing emoji with the sweat dripping.
Sweat dripping.
I guess I'm aging out of the franchise. Thank you, 571. Or maybe you're aging into it.
Turn the lights off. Golden Bachelor's coming on.
Golden Bachelor's coming on. The news. Gabby from San Francisco, I'm excited for The Golden Bachelor. I hope the contestants qualify for Bachelor in Paradise casting next year and get a chance to explore
the boom room. I really, really hope they do not.
Thank you, Gabby.
Let me tell you, as a person that watched MILF Manor on for Patreon. More Rem and AB, Patreon.com for $4 a month.
Some of the great episodes.
I watched MILF Manor. As someone that's watched that, you don't want to get anywhere near that. And if you start getting contestants from each of these shows, we're going to start
Gabby
approaching that level.
I think Gabby was joking for the record.
Just letting you know.
Also, perhaps the people on the Casa Gary season will not be as morally corrupt as those that infested the MILF Manor cast.
I would say there's no chance they're possibly that corrupt. There's no chance.
Angela in Seattle, I was a bit skeptical that I was going to be interested in The Golden Bachelor, but I watched some clips from Good Morning America, and fine, ABC, you got me. I'm thoroughly charmed by this man and hope he finds love. I'm rolling my eyes at myself, but it is what it is. Thank you, Angela. Shannon from Los Angeles, Conspiracy Corner. I am not convinced Gary really needs those hearing aids. I agree, his age seems like a stretch.
Oh, I love
We're
this
being
conspiracy.
Facetious, but yeah, I do too, and I have a response to it. I agree, his age seems like a stretch.
Who said he has hearing aids?
You can see him. Some of the promos start behind him, so they're clearly visible.
We can see the backs.
Where Shannon continues, and I'm wondering if they added those as a prop to make him seem like more of a senior. If he truly needs them, I will stand corrected in all apologies, but I would not put it past ABC to pull a stunt like that.
Of course not.
Thank you, Shannon. I will not go that far. My guess is he does use hearing aids, but the ones he has, you can't see. So they swapped his real ones out for these more noticeable ones.
Yeah.
And that to me is within the zone of acceptable ethics. I'm okay with that. Amplify the look and size of the hearing aids.
Absolutely.
He still needs them.
He does need hearing aids. He has hearing loss. He can't hear very well.
Just so people see them.
I buy that, and I'm okay with that.
I am too. Thank you, Shannon. This is from Allie, the last one about The Golden Bachelor. My friend and her sister submitted an application for their mom to be on The Golden Bachelor. Super bummed she didn't get a call back, but the minimum age for contestants is 65.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
I was really glad to hear they had
Hell
a minimum
yeah.
age. Makes me think this will be a little more serious, and I'm hopeful for a true happy ending. Thank you, Allie.
Hell yeah, Allie.
I hope you're right. Jessica from San Diego, I'm so glad you caught the PB reference, AB, because I completely missed it, and it's fucking hilarious. PB, aka Pacific Beach, is a neighborhood in San Diego that is primarily known for bars and partying, particularly among bros and 20-something. This is absolutely where Braden hangs out when he commutes from Murrieta. Thank you, Jessica.
Come find Braden in PB. Meet me in PB.
Katie from Tennessee, this isn't an answer to your current question, but I just had to share. I almost jumped out of my seat this week when I saw Braden's earrings because I have the same pair. Katie says, I am a major earring girl, and those aren't just any generic earrings. I got these a few years back from a niche artist on Etsy, so you'll be glad to know that he takes his earring game seriously enough to support small business. And then Katie sent a photo, and I can confirm, photo matching, they are Braden's earrings. With the turquoise. Remember Braden?
Yeah, I remember Braden.
The good old days.
Yeah, those were the days.
Thank you, Katie. 608 area code. Amazing Frankenstein reference, Rim. Chef's kiss. No idea what you're talking about. None.
Someone said that. Here, let me get.
I have never read Frankenstein. I have never seen Frankenstein. I'm only vaguely aware of the plot.
Okay. Someone posted on the Facebook. Someone posted something like that. And I'm like, well, I must be dumb as shit because I don't know what you're talking about. I got no clue. Let me read the comment. On the Facebook, Rosecast Nation, which is absolutely popping off, over 2,200 members now, Rim. We're straight popping. Emily says, English nerd here. Anyone else catch Rim's deep cut reference to Frankenstein? Haley said, fellow English nerd here. I think I missed the reference. And then Emily said, listen to minute 56 of the episode.
Are you going to be able to tell me what that is? Because I don't...
No, I have no idea. Huh. I don't know. I didn't listen to it.
Wow, me neither.
Good reference, Rim.
Thanks for listening. I'll take credit for it. Take credit. Next week's question, AB, what is it?
I want to know whose hometown you're most excited for coming up this week. Okay. And I don't mean who do you think's hometown is going to go the best, or who do you want to win, or who do you want to go well. I want to know who's are you most looking forward to, probably because of drama.
Mine's Aaron. The last thing we could grasp onto for potential like uncomfortable situations. 773-234-7794. What do you think?
I think Xavier's has the potential to be explosive.
Oh.
Just because of what he said this last week. How he's feeling. If he says something like that to his parents, I'd be like, well, what the fuck are we doing here then? Why are these people at our house?
Put out the nice napkins and everything.
What's even going on here? You don't even like her? When are you going to decide?
That would be
hilarious.
Could
be explosive.
773-234-7794. Do you have a headline of the week, or is it too late in the season?
It's too late. My headline is be safe out there.
Yeah, well, that's what I have. Stay safe in Paradise streets.
I almost saw a Bachelor in Paradise spoiler.
Ugh.
Who's looking for those? It's like Bachelor in Paradise 9 and 10. Week 9 and 10 spoilers. Like, they're putting out weekly spoilers, so you can just follow the weekly spoilers.
I have come to understand why some people search for flagship season spoilers. That's sure. A different way to
flagship
watch a show.
Season,
it took me a while,
whatever.
But I get it. Keep that
Bachelor in Paradise.
Just let Bachelor in Paradise happen. You don't need to know who comes down and who gets. Just let it happen.
Let it happen on Bachelor in Paradise. But be safe out there, folks.
Yeah. Power rankings. Only four left. Where will AB put Braden in the gag slot? I'll go first. Number four is Xavier. Number three, these are kind of highly anticipated. Where are we going to put the top two? Number three is Aaron. Number two is, these rankings are who I think will win. Number two is Dotton.
Oh, wow.
Number one is Aaron. Yeah. I think it is being positioned. The way you feel about wanting Dotton to win, that's on purpose. I think we're probably not being shown everything that makes Charity and Joey seem like clear cut. So that Dotton's heartbreak, as we predicted from the night one, will propel him to greater heights in the franchise. Let's hear yours.
He's either got to win the season or be the Bachelor for me to be satisfied. Number five, Xavier.
Five.
Number four, Braden. If I'm putting people that don't love... They aren't sure if they can fall in love with Charity or not. If we're ranking people that aren't sure if they can get engaged yet, based on the feelings Charity has for them, I put Braden ahead. Number three, Aaron. Number two, Joey. Yep. Number one, Dotton. This seems like a Dotton and Charity love story.
It does.
That won't stop, Rim, ever. I think we're looking at an all-time Bachelor couple.
It would be great.
That we can have a wedding for? Remember the weddings?
No,
I don't know
if you've
ever
seen one.
Yeah, you haven't seen one.
They
never
haven't
mind.
Happened. I've been watching the show for 10 years.
We could have a nice Dot and Charity wedding and just, you know.
We could.
Go off into the sunset.
That's what I think we're getting. I don't want my power rankings to imply that I don't want that to happen. That is my preferred outcome.
You just don't think it's happening.
I just think it's, you know, cluing things together. Also looking up spoilers. No, I don't know. I would never. Okay.
I can see why you'd want to know spoilers with where I'm sitting with Dot.
Yeah,
I don't think I can handle it. I just want to find out before I get more invested.
All the things I want to know right now can be answered with who wins.
Exactly.
Tells me how everything plays out. I get it. I get spoiler culture now. Quickly, Real TV Fantasy scoring for week five. There were 70 people who tied for first with 114 points. That was Dot and Aaron and Joey. 69 if you don't count yours truly. The sticker winner is this week Christina C. from Team Xtina C. When I get naughty! Thank you to all who played this week. That's all we got, AB. You have anything else?
I think so. Nope.
Okay. Stay safe in the headlines.
Hometown's next week. Hometown's favorite next episode week. Of the year, always.
Don't hype this one up because it might not have.
No, this one might not be good.
Well, let's just play it safe. Play it safe. Thanks for listening. Stay cool out there. Talk to you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.